नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवं सरस्वतीं व्यासं तुजयमुदीरयत्। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 20, text. Ashlishya sama shitoshnam prasuna vana marutam janas tapam jahur gopyo na krishna krita chaitasaha ashlishya sama shitoshnam prasuna vana marutam janastapam jahur gopyo no krishna hita chaitasaha Ashlishya samashishya, embracing, sama, equal, shita ushnam, between cold and heat, prasunavana, the forest of flowers, marutam, the wind, jana, the people in general. Tapam, suffering. Jahu, were able to abandon. Gopya, the gopis. Na, not. Krishna, by Lord Krishna. Krita, stolen. Chetasaha, whose hearts. Translation. Except for the gopis whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold. Please repeat. Except for the gopis whose hearts had been stolen by Krishna, the people could forget their suffering by embracing the wind coming from the flower-filled forest. This wind was neither hot nor cold. Next text, 46. Gavo mriga kaganaya pushpinya sharadabhavan Andiyamana svarishyai palar isha kriya iva. Translation. By the influence of the autumn season, all the cows, doe, women, and female birds became fertile and were followed by their respective mates in search of sexual enjoyment. Just as activities performed for the service of the Supreme Lord are automatically followed by all beneficial results. Purport. Srila Prabhupada comments, on the arrival of the autumn season, all the cows, deer, birds, and females in general become pregnant. Because in that season, generally, all the husbands become impelled by sex desire. This is exactly like the transcendentalists, who by the grace of the Supreme Lord are bestowed with the benediction of their destinations in life. Srila Rupa Goswami is instructed in his Upadashamrita that one should perform devotional service with great enthusiasm, patience, and conviction, and should follow the rules and regulations, keep oneself clean from material contamination, and stay in the association of devotees. By following these principles, one is sure to achieve the desired result of devotional service. For he who patiently follows the regular principles of devotional service, the time will come when he will achieve the result as the wise reap results by becoming pregnant. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Sadakaya Chakshuram Aditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadam Tikam Vanchakar Patrubhischa Kripasandubhyahivacha Putitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhinamo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Kam Kuroti Vachalam Pangum Lankai Tegirim Yit Kripatam Aham Bhante Shri Gurum Dinatarnam Shri Paramanda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishvaram It's a wonderful chapter. Gives us a very amazing experience of Krishna consciousness through various angles of vision. We've been hearing lately about how the Lord is surrounded by so many different stars which complement His glory, complement His pastimes. And when we notice how is described here, how the different residents of the forest environment, the cows and women, female birds, they actually become fertile when followed by their respective mates in search of sexual enjoyment. It's amazing, the forest environment. Like yesterday, we were speaking about, we're asking people what they like to do in terms of, pleasure. And some people say, oh, I like to go to the forest. I like to go here. I like to go there. And I was saying, well, do you see peace in the forest environment? Because you're in a human form, you don't have to worry about becoming devoured. But ultimately, the animals are experiencing a struggle for life. Now, in this material world, we see how this activity of sex pleasure, it is a reflection, a perverted reflection of the topmost activities in the spiritual plane. Because you may note, Krishna has surrounded himself in various ways for his own pleasure. But the problem in the material world is when we try to imitate activities of the Supreme Lord, then we become under the influence of the illusory energy. Maya has her illusory grace also. Maya sukhaya param uvido vimudha. He makes individuals, she controls individuals where they carry so many unnecessary burdens. So what is the burden in this material world described as the shackles of material desires or sex attraction, which act as bars when they're not used, when this activity is not used for giving pleasure to the absolute truth. So Krishna, he has arranged so many facilities for the residents of the age of Kali Yuga to either try and enjoy separately or be enjoyed by him. The process of Krishna consciousness means that actually the Lord has designed a different formulas that can help the, the prisoners, those who want to get out of the prison house to escape. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. He's provided different religious principles to help us come to a higher plateau of service, to actually utilize these material things. Like one girl came up to me last night and was saying that, you know, I want to become Krishna conscious, but I also want some wealth. So I'm afraid that ultimately, if I take shelter of Krishna, I'll become poor. You know, we see, especially in India, you know, you must worship some demigod, you must worship Ganesh, you can worship different demigods like that. Of course, Prabhupada says you can worship Ganesh. He did say like that to one disciple, but there's a qualifier. You must give your Guru Maharaj $100,000 every month. So the devotee is thinking, well, why should I worship? You know, Prabhupada's making a point. Why should we go after the temporary demigods when we actually water the tree at the root? So I was explaining to this girl that ultimately you want real wealth. And I explained to myself that I left college after 2 years. And, of course, we encourage persons in our international preaching work that if you have an education, you finish your education, unless you you have a choice whether to take advantage of your school education But for many of us, just stopped. I don't know for you, but for myself, after 2 years, I said enough's enough, and I became a devotee. And so I was saying, materialistically, I would be, I don't have ability for a job and recognition this way, but by Krishna's grace, we've made millions of dollars for the pleasure of Krishna. I was saying, there's nothing wrong about wealth. There's nothing wrong about any, Prabhupada says, there's nothing wrong with using a knife. It's how you use it. But it's if we use it for the pleasure of the Absolute. And the point being is that, like this temple, I don't know, what does it cost a week to run the temple on Yoruba? $40,000. 14, that's cool. Wow. $14,000. So in other words, Krishna, so much income is coming, all glories to Bhakta Hundi, that the fact is that we're finding that so much is being used in Krishna's service. And that we can actually, because if we're using that wealth in the wrong way, then it would be a reaction towards that. So I was explaining to this girl that don't you worry about the wealth. You have to change your consciousness how to use your wealth. So as Rupa Goswami is describing that ultimately one will use 50% of one's earnings. Of course, this is, the topmost standard, 50% of one's earnings for the distribution or the support of Krishna consciousness. And then one may use 25% one with personal needs, and also the 25% Rupa Goswami gave to family members before he renounced this world. Now, the point being is that when we utilize Krishna's gifts in a proper way, then we begin to appreciate the Lord and His opulences. Because in order to give up these types of material desires, param drisvanavartate, we have to experience a higher taste of Krishna's association, of Krishna consciousness. Bhivamangala Thakur in the Nectar of Devotion states that actually your opulence is so inconceivable. In Dwarka, you have 560 million people living in opulent, over 900,000 opulent palaces. So much opulence is there. But if you go to Vrindavan, it is actually the jewels that are on the legs of the damsels of Vrindavan are more. The Chintamani gems cannot even compare these jewels. And he compared that their lotus dresses were more elaborate and more wonderful than any Parijata flower. Parijata flower is like the most wonderful smelling flower in the heavenly planets. So we see. So Bhivamangala Thakur describes it. No one who can understand the glories of Vrindavan. So when we try and serve this Vrindavan environment, we try to serve the deity form of the Lord, then we acknowledge a wonderful sphere of events, that this intense attachment, this hankara vimudatma kartamam iti manyate, this identification with a false ego, it changes in time as we absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. So yesterday we were actually on our way to the swimming pool to try and cool down a bit, and I noticed for the first time at the the aquatic center, you have a line of like almost 50 people. You have to queue. You have to get a queue to go in line. I kind of going, because I don't really like, I don't mind public environments, but not when it's like, 1,000 persons in the pool at once. And I was thinking, well, but anyways, everyone's so hot. I was asking yesterday about people, who went swimming today? And I was trying to, because people, I felt really hot. And so we were trying to bring an analogy into, are you the body or not? Is it you that's hot, the body? Is it the self who's hot, or is this the body? Anyways, well, I waited in line for about 15 seconds, and I said, forget it. I'll just go back to the temple and take a shower. And so I was just noticing, everyone's so scarcely clad, it's so hot out. And then there's like hundreds and hundreds of people. Even the place was so packed that you had like persons going in the back route. When the security guard wasn't there, they would go through the exit gates in there. It was just like, it was like a madhouse in there. But I was just seeing how people were so absorbed in the bodily concept, and that you have the weightlifting room upstairs, and you have the windows and the workout situation, the pumpers and bumpers there. Sitting next to the window. I remember one time I went there last year, and there was a
like a boxer working outside. They had it like over the entranceway. So Maya Sukaya Baram Uvido Vimudha. You think that yes, for this real attraction, my body, this is everything. And then actually, the best pleasure in this world is a sex desire. Let me fulfill that and what I can. But here it's described that ultimately, in a Krishna conscious level, there is a proper way of these different natural instincts. And Prabhupada gives the example of when the woman, she wants a child. So there has to be a sense of patience in the terms of spiritual discipline. And because the woman must be fertile and the man must be potent. And with the combination, there can be progeny. But in Krishna consciousness, ultimately, we're not upbringing children like cats and dogs. I was just looking at the newspaper the other day. They have the big breakdown of the graffiti gang in Melbourne. Graffiti's everywhere. So they're doing this, spending millions of dollars to crack down these gangs who are making graffiti. But it's like these types of activities, breaking certain laws of state, breaking certain laws of nature, is basically misplaced misuse of desires, misplaced development of consciousness. So it's amazing to note that we see as a contrast to the sex desire or sex activities we see in this world is pure intimate connections that we see in with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with His most intimate devotees. What happens is because a desire is there and it's not placed in the proper position of being enjoyed by the Supreme Lord, and difficulty results. So Krishna consciousness is a matter of contrast. If we look at the pastimes of the Lord, He always is surrounded by His most intimate devotees, His most intimate residents. And in this way, he actually likes to express His sense of freedom, his sense of enjoyment. So Krishna consciousness is a matter of contrast. Here, the materialists are trying to enjoy sex desire unlimitedly, but the spiritualists know how to conserve the senses and to use it to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. Interestingly enough, if we look at the Bhagavad Gita, it is a great mistake if we study the battle of Kurukshetra in historical context and try to explain it in terms of historical context. Meaning, the fact 18 days, 640 million men killed in the battlefield with such a short period of time. Now, if we study this as just a historical event, we'll miss the boat on the meaning, and the Lord's plan of the battle of Kurukshetra is not a historical event. It is a history of Krishna's leela in this world. You see, if we judge Krishna's pastimes and leelas in terms of our limited sense perception, we are going to fall short. How is it possible that so many persons can be killed in the battlefield? How is it possible is the Supreme Lord can dance with unlimited associates or wrestle with unlimited gopas? Materially, it is impossible, but because it is Krishna's leela, we see infinite realities evolve. So what we see in the, for example, battlefield of Kurukshetra, that here Lord Krishna is preaching to Arjuna, you must become a pure devotee. You must control your senses. You must learn how to please me. And here is the Supreme Lord, goodness personified, at the same time directing Arjuna to kill the opposition, to kill family members, to kill uncles. Now, this must be underlined to understand what is the Lord's purpose by this entire leela and pastime, is to show you the power of pure devotion. The power of taking shelter of a Supreme Lord in all situations. And in this way, you are not affected by the reactions which would normally happen. So Krishna's leelas and his pastimes, which are actual events, cannot be seen in terms of a historical date and time, but they're a historical event of Krishna's pastimes. And as we study these, shall we say, contrasts, because the Lord, like a dramatist on the stage, will have different types of props, he'll have different types of many different types of devotees surrounding him, we find that we come in contact with spiritual histories. As it is stated about Lord Chaitanya, Krishna varam shri sal krishnam, sangam pokasta parshadam, yajnasikantadeya prayer, yajantihi samedasaha. That intelligent persons will worship the Supreme Lord, who actually is constantly chanting the names of Krishna. Although his complexion is not blackish, he is Krishna himself, and he is followed. He descends with all his servants, associates, weapons, and confidential companions. This is Mahaprabhu's Leela, that he is bringing us into contact with the reality of how to deal with the contrasts in this material world. For example, here, this verse is talking about material desire, how it has to be utilized, and the residents in the forest environment are working in such a harmonious way for the overall whole. So here we find we've been born in the age of Kali, just coming out of the cesspool of material existence. There may be so many anartas, there may be so many unwanted things within the heart, and we have different forms of weaknesses, and one of those weaknesses may be sex desire. But ultimately, by applying ourselves to the Krishna conscious process, even if a desire is there, as Srila Prabhupada described, gave the example of the mango. A mango is a mango. How many devotees in the movement? How many pure devotees in the movement? Well, how many? He described this principle. There's different levels of pure devotees. A pure devotee can have material desires, but he knows with intelligence, he or she knows that one does not itch the itch. And we're speaking here about sex desire. One is very conscientious to understand, to tolerate. Okay, the pushing may be there, because the body which I'm driving right now is maybe not so suitable for topmost spiritual expression. But as we make advancement, as we continue the process, then ultimately, daivyesha gunamai mama maya dharaya, at these waves of material energy, which even Krishna, he kind of congratulates himself by quoting this verse, that they're so insurmountable, but you'll see they'll change, they'll disappear. And he's describing here that by following the principles of devotional service, one is sure to achieve the desired result of devotional service. For one who patiently follows the regular principles of devotional service, the time will come when he will achieve the result, as the wise reap results by becoming pregnant. That through patience, there is a symptom in spiritual life of surrender. Patience is that symptom of surrender. So it's a very important point that we don't look at Krishna consciousness in a limited way, saying, I must purify my heart. I must purify my consciousness. Because then you'll think in terms of different activities which will be good for my consciousness, good for my pure heart. Ultimately, we want to be simply engaged in service to Krishna, service to Guru, service to the sadhus. We have the service to the Nam Seva, Vaishnava Seva, and Jiva Doi. These three fields of service, then purification of heart is an automatic byproduct. So we look at their lordship, Shri Shri Radha Vallabha. And you may be each experiencing different types of tests, different types of weaknesses. But if you look at the Lord is smiling. We want to render a service to the Lord because Yashanam Anugarami Harisyetanam Shanai, that to show special mercy, the Lord will take things away. So this girl, she was a bit nervous. If I get too close, I'm going to have to give up. You know, I'm going to have to give up my wealth. But I'm saying, why shoot yourself in the foot? You want wealth? You can worship the Supreme Lord. He can give you wealth. But the point is that He will give you the supreme wealth. He'll give you material wealth. He'll give you the ultimate wealth. But if you want the material wealth, this you have to use your consciousness in the right way to help Him in His mission in this world. The Lord has ascended in such a wonderful way, so we want to assist Him in a wonderful way. So as the Supreme Lord is surrounded by so many different associates and companions, and to augment His pastimes, we see how the pure devotee in this world is surrounded by so many wonderful Vaishnavas and Vaishnavis. And the topmost example that we can think of is our beloved Srila Prabhupada. How when he would go everywhere and he would attract and encourage devotees in so many different fields of service, terms in terms, whether the service is deity worship, whether the service is the preaching work, book distribution, constructing farm communities, making different temples, that Srila Prabhupada, he left India with, what was it, like 45 rupees in his pocket. He had full dependence. He had the full wealth of full dependence on the Supreme Lord. So as the Lord says, Yeta Mampahadinte Tamsataya Bajam Yaham, that Prabhupada was so dependent on the Lord, even despite heart attacks at sea. Sometimes our mind, oh, I'm feeling a little sick. I have a little bit of flu today. Maybe I shouldn't go out on Sankirtan, or maybe I should spend some time back. But Prabhupada, he had a vision. Despite the condition of the material body, I'm going to depend on Krishna. So then when he came to America, and didn't he said, when I got off to the Jaladutta, I didn't know where to turn right or left. And I think that's where he saw there was one big factory there, and it said unalloyed, some company, unalloyed metal works. And that's where Prabhupada got the word for unalloyed devotional service. Then we see where Prabhupada, he went, yad yad acharti shreshta. The pure devotee teaches by example. So we see what Prabhupada went through. And in this way, with full faith, even without so much real success, external success, after 1 year, he pursued, and then Krishna gave him everything. One senior sannyasi said to Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta, it was at a big banquet, and they were with various aristocrats, British aristocrats there. And so Prabhupada didn't know which to use, the fork or the spoon. He didn't know that. And this one sannyasi says, you have to learn these things before you go to the West, because how can you impress people? And Prabhupada said that, I am not going to the West to learn these things. I'm going to teach them something else. So what Prabhupada did was inconceivable. He went to the armpit of New York City, the Bowery, and he was actually dealing with such undesirable elements, but then Krishna directed him, you actually preach to the hippies. And Prabhupada said later, I've made these hippies into happies. And when these persons dress very nicely with kunti mala, tilak, nice dhoti kurt, all these things, yes, they look like they've just come from Vaikuntha. So Prabhupada, he was so expert because he had conquered this desire for material enjoyment. And those who surrender to Srila Prabhupada and his dependents will also conquer over these material desires. Wasn't it in France when Srila Prabhupada, they went to, you know, in France they have these very beautiful castles. And in the castles there's all kinds of variety of paintings from the Renaissance. So one time Srila Prabhupada was walking through with many of his sannyas disciples, and there were many naked women on the paintings or up in the ceiling like that. All the sannyasis, you know, their heads are like down, and Prabhupada's looking around, you know, just completely detached, just appreciating Krishna's opulence. Because ultimately, this material world is a perfect design. For Prabhupada to say in New York City that actually, I see Manhattan as Vaikuntha. Ultimately, a perfect design to ultimately free people from a real anxiety. A perfect design. So it's amazing to note where we have each been, what designs we've, you know, come through under the hard rain of karma, and where we've been given by the mercy of the Lord. Somehow or another, we've come in contact with Krishna, whether it's through the book, whether it's through the prasadam, whether it's through the deity worship, and we've come to a temple, and then we find ourselves trying to serve the mission of the Lord, serve a spiritual master, and his mission in service to the Supreme Lord. And we find a various arena of events which will help us, if we absorb ourselves, overcome these material desires. We notice in Mahaprabhu's Leela, because Srila Prabhupada once said, impossible is only found in a fool's dictionary. When Lord Chaitanya was going on the Naga Sankirtan party against the Kazi, and the Kazi had made so many arrangements to put fear into the hearts of the devotees by breaking the mridangas and threatening them, putting them in jail like that, that Lord Chaitanya, he was dressed by Gadadhar. And what did Mahaprabhu use? Didn't have a machine gun, didn't have a bazooka, didn't have a nuclear bomb. But what did Gadadhar put in his hair? Beautiful flowers, beautiful golden dhoti, and he dressed him very wonderfully. And then all the devotees, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, you get these, bring some torches. And then millions, it's described that actually Navadvip was as populated as modern-day Calcutta is now. But those residents were actually some of the greatest scholars throughout India. So the devotees were absorbed in trying to spread the Yuga Dharma, and they approached the Kazi with an arm of the holy names. This is the first time that the chanting of the holy names had been done at a public level, because as you well know, the Sankirtan performances were done behind closed doors with Lord Chaitanya and his most intimate associates. But the Lord went and they approached the Kazi's house. Now the devotees are thinking, God, you know, they're thinking in terms of contrast. Well, you know, the Kazi is very powerful and he's the king, and they're thinking, wow, we're gonna get in trouble. But by taking shelter of the Nam, they became fearless, even to the point they were saying, even some persons were there, kill the Kazi. And even Mahaprabhu was very, very, yes, tear down the house like that. But then the devotee said to Mahaprabhu, my lord, you're here, Paritanaya Sadam Vinashita Diskritam, please. You're here to give mercy. You gave mercy to Jagai and Madai, so please, he is your maternal uncle, so try and give him some mercy. So in this way, as you know, the pastime where Mahaprabhu and the Chand Kazi had a very wonderful discussion. And because the Kazi had mentioned the name of Krishna, the name of Narayan, in appreciation at the end of the discussion, Mahaprabhu said, you have been freed from all your sinful activities. Because a leader takes on 1/6 the karma of the residents. And so the Muslims, their diet is not so in the mode of goodness. So the Kazi's got so much reactions coming on his head, but he did take shelter of the Lord, and he was freed from all reactions. So again, remember, patience is the symptom of surrender. And as we take shelter of Krishna in this service, then these material desires will slowly go away as we try and put our energies. You see, Prabhupada was so expert that he traveled throughout the world and he saw the different propensities in his different followers, that they were very energetic and they had much energy. So in this way, he engaged them in so many preaching activities. And in this way, we notice, even as we're in Mayapur, as you come across the Ganga, you see Prabhupada's big Pushpa Samadhi, and soon we will see anywhere between 7 to 11 years, once the temple construction is begun, that a very wonderful Abhut Mandir will manifest. And I'm very fortunate because my room has a complete top floor of the Brahmacharya Ashram, far right hand side. I have a complete darshan of the future grounds that will act as a beacon to attract people from all around the world to actually add Krishna into their life. So as we absorb ourselves in this mission, we become absorbed in terms of freedom from material desire. Though the itch may be there, we focus in terms of the higher absorption of Krishna consciousness. And we will see what impossible obstacles, the great boulders that may be in our path, karmically, will actually simply turn into pebbles in time. Chanakapakanda once mentioned that, because astrology we see is an important feature, but he said that actually, if we focus too much on the external situations, material astrology, then it'll help one develop a weak mind. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta himself, he was one of the best astrologists, but he left that profession for a higher profession of distributing Krishna astrology. Because there's always the Krishna Graha. So the Lord, he comes in various ways to actually deliver his devotees. And if we absorb ourselves in that type of service, in that type of mission, then we will be able to go beyond the impossible, to actually develop what's described in the Bhagavad Gita as faith in the Lord, or unflinching trust in the Supreme Lord, who is most sublime. will be given special intelligence. We see right now we're within a Prabhupada described how the temple is like a base to fight Maya. So we have the Sadhu Sangha to serve. We have the Nam. We have the Devotee Association. So we want to really take advantage of reinforcing our relationships in so many different ways to give Krishna, to distribute Krishna. And in this way, we will find that even though the material desires may be there, in time they will go away. And Krishna will not give you a test you cannot pass. Because ultimately, as is described, that if one simply controls the different senses, referring to the tongue, belly, and genitals, then one can be qualified to become a Krishna teacher throughout the three worlds, to become a sober person, to become a guru. So don't limit yourself in terms of thinking in a mechanistic position of Krishna consciousness, that I can make advancement if I do this, if I do that. And then what happens is you develop a contract with Krishna. Like this girl, she was beginning her first contract in Krishna consciousness, meaning, well, I don't want to get too close to you because I can't have this. But now she may be thinking, well, if I give a little bit of this, maybe then you'll help me, you know, in this way. She wanted to keep one foot on land and one foot in the boat. Very dangerous position. So devotee placed both feet in the boat of terms of Krishna conscious boat. So the temple here, as I've noticed traveling throughout Australia, this has probably the best, most well-rounded focus. And the most devotees coming from Mangalartik. And you have many different departments, or shall we say, pots of gold, to utilize different persons with different abilities to overcome their individual tests. And guess what? As you progress by surrender to the Supreme Lord, the Lord says, Tesham satayuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakandadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upiyanti te, that for those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. So as we try and take shelter of the Lord in our particular service, then all of a sudden we see there's inspiration. There's an intelligence developing of how we can expand our service, how we can encourage the other devotees in our service. See, that common denominator is Krishna consciousness, service to Krishna. So we have unlimited fields of service available. Krishna has unlimited plans. If we simply take shelter of our particular service and work in such a way to inspire the others, don't think in terms of just, am I successful in my service? Am I distributing enough books? Am I raising enough Lakshmi? Am I doing... These are nice goals, but think in a higher way. Prabhupada said, shoot for the rhino. Think, if your service, please, my Lord, empower me in this service to inspire the others in their service. Because ultimately, this is the mood of the topmost spiritual plateau. The material world, this whole vision of aham iti, everything belongs to me, as this verse describes, is that if everything centers around me, everything centers around my sex desire. But in the spiritual plane, there's completely freedom from sex desire. And the activity, the intimate exchange the Lord may have with his devotees is ultimately a complete expression of love. And as is described, nityo nityanam chaitanas chaitanam bahu eko bahun vedati kamam, that the Lord and the individual and the individual that ends have similarities. It's eternality. There's a bliss angle, and that the Lord is full of knowledge, and the living entity has knowledge, but the difference is this: the Lord is supplying the needs of his dependents. And this is what we're learning in this material sphere, that we're fully dependent on Krishna. We cannot give up these material desires unless we take shelter of Guru and Krishna and become absorbed in service. And on the topmost level of purification, where there's the gopas and the gopis, they're completely so absorbed in Krishna. They're not seeing Krishna as the Supreme Lord. They're not seeing the Supreme Krishna as the Supreme Lord with this Brahman effulgence. No, they're seeing Krishna as their best friend, their best lover, their best associate to wrestle with. This is what's most pleasing to the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada describes we must see Krishna as our friend. But what happens is when we struggle with material desires, we think of I'll. We become a little mechanical. We begin to think of advancement on our own strength. And this is where the difficulty begins. We begin to worship the spiritual master and the Lord in terms of what we feel is good. Like it's like we expect Krishna advancement, Krishna consciousness, like what you may see at a tramway stop. The tram is supposed to come at a certain time. The train will come at a certain time. So we've seen a mechanistic value of Krishna conscious advancement. But what did Jesus say? Not my will, but thy will be done. So I said earlier, the lordships are smiling. And they just want to see you surrender to them. As I was mentioning the other day, if our sadhana is effective, if it is Krishna conscious, then the Lord is, you're smiling with the Lord. The Lord is smiling with you in service. But if your sadhana is not good, and if you're trying to enjoy separately from the Lord, or being a little wooded-headed, being mechanical, taking things for granted, then the Lord will smile at you. So we want to smile with the Lord. We don't want the Lord to smile at us for that reason. But hey, if that actually happens, it is described the best atonement for any detours in Krishna consciousness is simply to absorb oneself in Krishna conscious culture. Once again, to absorb oneself in service, to get up. And the strength it takes to get from a particular detour is a purifying aspect. And as the body gets older, these desires, these detours will become less and less. And then finally, ekeha kura nandana, one will be so fixed and resolute in one's devotional service. So you're all here because you've absorbed yourself in certain degrees of service to the Supreme Lord. He'll be seen as candidates for liberation. When I speak about the liberation, I'm talking about to become Krishna's, to reawaken your position as Krishna's eternal servant. So to go to the airport, especially if you're going to a wonderful place, you're not going to hesitate and get on the plane. It's funny, whenever I'm flying Virgin Blue, I always get the seat on the back of the plane or something where I have to walk up the staircase. I have all my, you know, carry-on like that, you know. But one thing is, when it's time to get in the plane, you immediately get up and get on. So why hesitate? Your body, it will only last... It can be last a few more months or another 80 years. Who knows? Who knows, Mahatmaji? You might be go to 120, you know. The point being is that it's a temporary value as far as the body. So let us use the body in the best way. Then we can overcome any type of detours in the spiritual path. And as we're reading about here, understand how to use this mood of patience and service to the Lord to actually become a transcendentalist. And as described here, to perform devotional service with the greatest enthusiasm. Because the greatest defense is an offense, meaning making forward steps despite the contrasts that we go through, despite the tests. Because the contrast of Krishna in his pastimes is that he's always victorious, he engages his devotees, and he is able to annihilate the demonic element. So this can happen in our life. That we can be surrounded by devotees, we can overcome the impossible, the karmic repercussions of material desire, and that we can actually enter into eternal service and at the end of this life, not only at the end of this life, in this life, be Krishna conscious. So then our next body will be a better facility for our eternal service. So I will stop there. Does anybody have any... Alright. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Jaguru Srila Prabhupada Ki.